I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 4, verses 11 to 18. We're working our way together through 2 Corinthians. This morning we want to consider together death and resurrection in Christian life and ministry. Again, our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians. We're picking up where we left off last time in chapter 4 with verse 11. Let's hear God's word. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it's all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. As you have promised, Father, as you have promised, write this word, write your word on our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is killing me. You ever found yourself thinking that or feeling that? I'm dying over here. This job is going to be the death of me. This is killing me. Maybe you're going through an unusual time of pressure and stress. You're trying to juggle too many different things and it's just too much. Or maybe you're going through a time of unusual uncertainty and you just don't know what's going to happen. And it's the waiting and it's the not knowing that's killing you. Or maybe you're going through a time of unusual criticism. Maybe it's a tough time at work, big changes at work, and you're getting all the blame. Everything's being dumped on you. There's a lot of blowback. And you know, there are times when we just feel like life is killing us. Of course, when we say that, in one sense, we're exaggerating. You're not literally dying, but there is a sense in which death is working in you. And that's what I want us to see together this morning, that death and resurrection are always at work in the Christian life. Death and resurrection are always at work in life and ministry. Remember where we left off last time. Verse 10, Paul says, we always carry in our body the death of Jesus. And we talked about what that might mean last week. And we said, well, perhaps all Paul is saying is that wherever he goes, he carries the message that Jesus died. Maybe that's all Paul is saying. Wherever life takes me, I carry this message that Christ died for you. But I suggested last time that I think there may be more going on, because the Christian life has its ups and downs. I mean, you know that. The Christian life is like a roller coaster that way. One minute you're on top of the world, the next minute you couldn't possibly feel worse, and there just seem to be these ups and downs in the Christian life. And some of that's our own fault. Some of that's because of our own immaturity. You know, one minute you're focusing on the Lord, and the next minute you're focusing on your problems. One minute you're just digging into Scripture, and the next minute you're binge watching something you shouldn't even be looking at. And some of the ups and downs is our own fault. It's our own immaturity. It's our own lack of faith. It's our own instability. But it's not all our own fault. Because there's a certain pattern to the Christian life. There's a pattern of death and resurrection. We use the expression ups and downs, but it's really not ups and downs. It's really downs and ups. It's downs and ups. The Christian life is filled with downs and then ups. Downs as we cast ourselves on the Lord, then ups as he raises us up. So there's downs and ups that are sort of impressed upon the Christian life. Look with me at our text this morning. We're beginning with verse 11. Paul says, "For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake." Hang with me this morning, because this is a difficult passage, and it also may be a truth that you're not familiar with. So just stay with me this morning. What does Paul mean when he says, "We who live," those of us who are alive, "are always being given over to death"? Well, of course, it was Jesus that was given over to death. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Jesus was taken before the religious tribunal on trumped-up charges and found guilty of things in which he was innocent. And he was handed over to the Romans to be crucified. He was given over to death. You remember what happened. Pontius Pilate examined Jesus, said, "I find no wrong in him, worthy of death." But the religious leaders worked up the crowd and insisted, "Crucify him." Jesus was handed over to death. Now the Apostle Paul says, "We who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake." And perhaps Paul is referring to the fact that as he was going from town to town, like Jesus, he was often arrested. Like Jesus, he was often seized by the local synagogue and then handed over to the government authorities. Perhaps that's what Paul is referring to. There were certainly many times when Paul was seized by the local synagogue and handed over to the local officials and kicked out of the city or locked up. And sometimes he was beaten, and perhaps there was a threat of him being put to death. But I think there's something more going on here. I mean, it's certainly true that not just with Paul, but throughout history, sometimes God's people are put to death because of their faith in Jesus. But I think Paul is referring to something more than that here. Because if you remember where we left off last time, Paul said, "We're afflicted in every way." It's not just that sometimes he got arrested. That didn't happen in every town. But he says, "We're always being afflicted. We're always having one problem after another." Paul had this problem with his eyesight, and he wasn't much to look at, and maybe he had other health problems. And then he says, "We're perplexed. Things happen to us. We don't see it coming, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to make of it. We don't know how to respond." He said, "We're persecuted," not just when he's arrested, but all kind of false things were said about him, and we're struck down. I don't think Paul is just talking about those times when a Christian is arrested and put to death as a martyr. I think Paul's talking about all the suffering and the sacrifice and the troubles and the trials of the Christian life. Because this is what he says in verse 11. He says, "We who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake." Okay, this is just, it's just part of the Christian life. It's always happening, the troubles, the suffering, the sacrifices, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Okay. Jesus suffered. I mean, you know that he was flogged. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He carried his own cross. He was crucified. He suffered. He sacrificed. He died. But then he rose from the dead, and his life was manifested. His resurrection life was revealed. We see in Christ death and then resurrection. Okay, suffering and then splendor. And Paul seems to be saying we see that same pattern happening in our own life. We feel like we're dying. You're going through something, you feel like you're dying over here. Maybe you say, "People at work are crucifying me." You feel like you're dying, and you call out to God, and then he lifts you up. And this happens over and over again in the Christian life. You go through times that feel like death, and then the Lord raises you up. To put it this way, Paul seems to be saying we go through times of suffering and sacrifice and ministry and service so that Jesus Christ can be seen in us. You know, sometimes you wonder, why is this happening to me? Why do these things keep happening to me? Well, one reason perhaps is because it's in your moment of weakness when you're on your knees and you're pleading with God and you're hanging in there and you don't know what to do, but you're just hanging in. People see Jesus in you. And that's what Paul says. He says we're always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body, that people see something of the resurrected Lord in you, in your suffering and in your struggle and in your sacrifice. Let me put it this way. Jesus died so that we might have eternal life. Okay? Jesus died in our place. He died as a substitute in our place to take our punishment, our penalty. He suffered. He died that we might live. And now Paul says, likewise, we suffer. We struggle so that other people might live. Okay? That's what he says in verse 12. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Okay. First, Paul was talking about this pattern of death and resurrection that happens in your own life. You go through times when you feel like you're dying, and then you go through times when God's lifting you up. Now, Paul moves from the Christian life to Christian ministry. And he says the same pattern is present. You go through times of suffering and struggle like you're dying so that someone else can be lifted up. He says death is at work in us so that life can be working in you. Just like Jesus died so that we might live, now we suffer. We pray and we weep and we work and we witness. We suffer so that others might have life. Now, obviously, we don't suffer for people the way Jesus did. Jesus died once and for all to pay for sins. But there is a parallel. Jesus died, he suffered that we might have life, and now we suffer so that others might hear the message of life. In your struggling and in your weakness and in your troubles and in your sacrifice, people see Christ. Now, I need to take a moment here and explain something. People sometimes say the Bible is simple or even simplistic. I mentioned last time, some people think it's just, you know, fairy tales. It's an old, ancient, crusty book. It's religious mythology. It's just moral tales. It's just do's and don'ts. Anybody who thinks the Bible is simple or simplistic hasn't read it, or else they haven't read it very closely, because there's so many layers in Scripture. You have no idea how much I don't mention every week, because there's just so much there. And in this particular passage, Paul apparently has been meditating on Psalm 116. That's a psalm we read together responsively this morning. It's kind of a famous song, a psalm. Psalm 116 is when the psalmist says, "The cords of death entangled me." Remember, we read that this morning. "The cords of death entangled me." He felt like he was dying, and then he called out to the Lord, and the Lord raised him up. And Paul apparently has been reflecting on that passage, and he's been thinking, wow. Okay, that was the experience of the psalmist. He felt like he was dying. He called out to God, and God raised him up. But now Paul is looking at this through New Testament eyes, and he says, well, you know, wow, the psalmist felt like he was dying. Maybe he almost died, but Jesus really did die. Jesus didn't just almost die. He didn't just feel like he was dying. He really did die. But just like the psalmist called out to the Lord, remember how Jesus said to the Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And the Father raised him up. And so Paul apparently is reflecting on that psalm, and he's thinking about how, wow, this isn't just about the psalmist. This is about Jesus. And then he's thinking about how apparently the same thing's happening in his own life. How he's experiencing the same kind of thing where he feels like he's dying, and he calls out to God, then God lifts him up. Well, there's a portion of that psalm that says, "I believed, therefore I spoke." And so Paul quotes that here in, verse 13. He says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what's been written, 'I believe and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we also speak." Paul is trying to explain himself to the church in Corinth. They want to know why he isn't more impressive. Why isn't Paul like these so-called super apostles who come to town and put on such a show? These guys would have like a canned message, you know, that they've rehearsed over and over again. They would make you laugh, and then it would make you cry, and then it seemed so wise and so interesting. And boy, these guys would put on a real show, and they would boast of their great accomplishments, and they would draw huge crowds. And, you know, why isn't Paul like that? And Paul's trying to explain to himself, and he's already said, listen, I have nothing about in myself to boast in, but I believe. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for me and rose again. I believe that Jesus came to die for sinners, and that's why I speak. It's not because I'm something great. It's not because I'm some dynamic speaker. It's not because I'm like some super celebrity. I just speak because I believe it. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have your life together. You know, we don't have to be better than other people. That's not why we talk to people about Jesus. We talk to people about Jesus because we believe it to be true. Now, verse 13, Paul says, we believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. Here, Paul is now talking about the future resurrection. Okay? He started by reflecting on the resurrection of Jesus that happened back in history. Jesus was raised from the dead. And then Paul began to think about how that takes place in our own life. These times of death and resurrection when I feel like I'm dying and then the Lord raises you up. And then Paul began to think about how that happens in ministry. There's a sense in which we sacrifice and we die that others might have life. And now he's thinking about the future resurrection. Not the resurrection of Jesus. Not the kind of times of resurrection that happen in our life. Not the times of resurrection that happen in ministry. But he's looking forward to that day when Jesus is going to come back. And just like Jesus, you know, literally was raised from the dead, physically raised from the dead, one day Jesus will physically raise our bodies from the dead, transformed. And That hope, that future resurrection, is the only explanation for Paul's life and ministry. He's trying to explain himself to this church why he isn't this dynamic, captivating person who shows off, who has all this resume and letters of recommendation, and you know, all these other guys look so impressive, and the Corinthians are like, our apostle's in prison, you know. Paul's trying to explain himself. He said, the only way I can explain it is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. Okay. The future resurrection frees us to sacrifice ourselves. If this life is all there is, I mean, if you go around once and that's it, you don't want to miss out on anything. You don't want to miss out on any experience. You know, if all you had was a tiny bit of money to make it through the life, you're going to be reluctant to share that with anybody if that's all you have. If all you have is a little bit of time and this is it, you're going to be reluctant to share. But Paul is looking at life as an eternity with Jesus Christ. You know, if you're going to make a timeline of your life, beginning here and going forward infinitely, the amount of time on that timeline representing your earthly life would be maybe this big. On a timeline going on for infinity, your life on this earth is something like this or shorter. And so Paul feels freed up. It's just like if you were infinitely wealthy, you wouldn't have any qualms in giving a few bucks here and a few bucks there to people. You know, Paul feels and knows he has an infinite eternity with Jesus Christ. He's not afraid to give himself. The future resurrection has set him free to give his life. That's the only explanation. How else can he explain why he's not much to look at? He doesn't have a resume that he carries around. He doesn't go around bragging. Because he's given himself away. Paul says, we speak knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. The future resurrection sets you free to give. You don't have to worry about missing out on something. On your deathbed, you're not going to look back and say, I can't believe I let my sister have the last slice of meatloaf that day. I can't. You're not going to say that because you're looking forward to sitting at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and eating food that is so extraordinary. It's going to make this world's best food look like garbage. I mean, you don't mind sacrificing today. You've been set free. And not only does this future resurrection set you free to live a life of sacrifice, but it also motivates you. Because if you can just help one person, if you can just help one person get a little closer to knowing Christ, that person's going to have an eternity with Jesus. And so you're motivated. Paul says this. He says, I don't have a lot to brag about, but I believe it, so I speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. So it's not just that Paul is looking forward to being in the presence of Christ forever, but with the people. You're motivated to talk to people. You're motivated to serve. Because if you just reach one person, that means that person can have an eternity with Jesus Christ. The future resurrection, it frees you, but it also motivates you to live a life of sacrifice. And so Paul encourages us this morning to keep your eyes on eternal things. Look at verse 15. He says, it's all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You remember that there were some in the church in Corinth that were critical of Paul for different reasons. And one of their frustrations was that Paul had showed up when they weren't expecting him, and then he didn't show up when they were expecting him. And we all want attention. Everybody wants attention, one form or another, whether it's praise or whether it's encouragement or whether it's wealth or pleasure or just being left alone. We all want more. And doubtless the church in Corinth, they wanted more. These so-called super apostles would come to town and they looked so impressive. It kind of made the church in Corinth feel bad. Why can't we have an apostle like that? Why can't Paul be like that? They felt like they were sort of missing out. And so Paul is explaining, listen, even when I'm away from you, it's for your sake. Even when I'm preaching to somebody else, it's for your sake. Because if God's grace comes to these people, you can give thanks for it. You'll be glad. Maybe you wish you had more attention from your parents. Or maybe you wish your adult kids lived closer nearby and gave you more attention. Or you wish you had more time with your grandkids. Or, we all want more. And yet, if your grown kids are far away, but they're raising a Christian family, you thank God for that. I wish they were closer for my sake, and yet we thank God that they're serving somebody. You may wish that somebody else was being more thoughtful or more attentive to you, but if the reason they're not is because they're busy helping someone else, you can give thanks for that. We give thanks when God's grace is being extended to others, and it's worth the sacrifice. It's hard. I know it's hard for families when their kids go overseas to do mission work. But then they give thanks when they hear how God's using their kids to serve. We give thanks. It's worth the sacrifice if God is using your suffering to bring someone eternal life. We're encouraged and we keep going because our suffering is not in vain. This is what Paul says, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Paul's life was just one trouble after another. But he says we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't discourage. The people in Corinth must have been thinking, Paul, how do you keep going? These other guys have these great resumes and their life seems so smooth. And boy, your life is just a mess. What keeps you going? And he says, this is what keeps me going. The fact that God's working in me and God's using me to do eternal things. He says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In other words, Paul said, yeah, I get bumped around in life and I don't feel good and I can't see very well. My body's getting old and I'm not getting a lot of praise and a lot of attaboys. Outwardly, I'm wasting away. Outwardly, things seem to be going wrong. But he says, but inwardly, I'm being renewed. Because God's Spirit is working in me. It's that pattern of death and resurrection, just like the suffering of Christ preceded the splendor of Christ. That's working in me. I'm being renewed. Outwardly, I may be a mess, but inwardly, I'm becoming more like Jesus. Outwardly, I may be a mess, but God is working in the hearts of other people through me. And so I'm being renewed, Paul says. I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. Don't just look at appearances, is what Paul would say. Look at your problems in light of eternity and focus on things that really matter. Verse 17, he says, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. No one would call Paul's problems light. I mean, later on in the same letter, Paul will talk about how bad he has it. And he talks about the daily bearing the burden of all the churches. If you care about people, if you're going to hurt. I mean, that's what love suffers. If you care about somebody, you put your heart out there, it's going to hurt. It's going to suffer. Love is sacrificial. I mean, Paul felt the burden because he cared about the churches and he knew about all their problems and their troubles. Life is hard. And Paul is honest. He's realistic. He's not saying, oh, those... No, suffering is real. And there's other places where Paul, even in this letter, Paul comes very clean and talks about how incredibly hard his life was. But here he's looking at it in terms of eternity. He's explaining why he keeps going, why it's all worthwhile. And keep in mind, Paul is Jewish. Even though he is writing in Greek, he's a Hebrew. And in Hebrew, the word for glory is the same word for weight. It's the same word. And so in the Old Testament, you often have this contrast that some things are said to be in vain. And the idea is some things are light. They're insignificant and they're passing away. But God's glory is weighty. It's heavy. You often see that contrast in the Old Testament. You know, the unbeliever are like chaff, like dust that blows away. But the things of God are weight. They're weighty. They're substantial. They're lasting. They're eternal. That seems to be the image that Paul has in mind. And looking at the light of eternity, he looks at his problems and he says, "I can deal with this. You know, I can deal with this. They're light." We wouldn't say they're momentary because it was like every day he had a new problem, but they were momentary in light of eternity. And what he's saying is, look, you're just looking at the outside. That these things can't compare. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Yes, my life is hard, but look what God is doing. He says, beyond all comparison, the church in Corinth, or at least some of the people, were thinking that Paul doesn't measure up. That Paul doesn't compare to these religious show-offs, these religious celebrities. And Paul is looking at it totally differently. He's saying, actually, my problems don't compare with what God's doing in my life. Your problems don't compare with what God is doing in your life because you're not going to remember your problems 10 years from now, 100 years from now. You're going to remember them. But what God is doing in you is weighty. It's real. It's significant. It lasts. Can you name even one of these religious celebrities that Paul was being compared to, these super apostles? No, we don't even remember who they were. We don't even remember their name. They were so famous at the time. Now they're completely forgotten. And yet humble Paul, who they were ashamed of, his work lives on. Because God was using him to do something that lasted. He wasn't just entertaining people. God was doing something eternal in Paul, and he was doing something lasting through Paul. And so Paul says, don't look at appearances. Look at your problems in light of eternity and focus on things that really matter. He says, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It is so easy to judge people by appearances. And we're just jealous because other people look like they have it all together. And they look like they have a better life. And Paul says, don't look at it that way. Because that stuff's going to pass away. That stuff's not going to last. Look at the lasting things God is doing in you. Look at the things God is doing, how you're becoming more like Jesus. That's what's going to last. Suffering, it's not going to last forever. You're going to be raised up with a new body. Don't look at those outward things, the problems that we complain about every day. Focus on the fact that God is doing something eternal in you, something weighty in you, something glorious in you. And Paul is using you, and he's using your problems and your troubles and your sacrifice to do weighty, eternal, lasting things in other people. Paul says, don't look at the things you see. Focus on the unseen. Focus on Jesus. Jesus suffered. Jesus, you know, we look at other people and we're jealous. Don't look at Jesus and how he suffered. And then he rose again in glory. Look at Jesus and how he's working in you. Look at Jesus and how he's using you. Focus your eyes on things that are eternal. Okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are maybe the first to say, we don't always see what you're doing. We see the perplexity. We see the affliction. We see the problems. We see the concerns. We see the setbacks. But we want to see you. We want to see the glory. We want to see the things you're doing in our hearts. We want to see how you're growing us. We want to see the things that really matter. Lord, help us to take our eyes off of our troubles and things that don't really matter, things that aren't going to really last. And help us to put our eyes on the things that really do matter. Lord, we want you to do things in us, work in us that's going to last forever. We want to be prepared for eternity. We want to be prepared for glory. And we want you to use us, Lord, for eternal purposes. We pray for the people in our lives, and help us not to be trivial and trite and waste our brief earthly lives on things that aren't going to last. Help us, Lord, to invest in things that matter. Help us to give ourselves and to sacrifice and to love and to plead and to pray. Help us not to be ashamed of our suffering and our circumstances. And help us, Lord, to not lose heart. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to see what you're doing, how the resurrected Jesus is being manifested, being seen in us, and how you're using us to work in other people's lives. Lord, we pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcomed. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.